from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Castro Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this second day of August 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have with us, he's the our producer, the far right, Kyle Knight. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
All right.
Oh, hey, Pastor Ernie.
Yes, it's me. Hey, Kyle. All righty. And then we have, of course, way out there in North Carolina, the magnificent herbalist, the Miss Wendy Wilson.
Oh, good evening, Pastor. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good tonight, young lady. And then he's legendary. He's a legendary Missouri parson. That's Pastor Joe Larson.
All of a sudden, I lost your voice, but I think you were introducing me. If you can hear me, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're probably glad to have you. All right. We got a lot of stuff we got to get to tonight. And since we got Miss Wendy here, we want to make sure she knows we're smart, right, Joe? So let's get right into the scripture. Do you remember the title of the message?
The Left's Covenant with Death and Their Final End.
Right out of Isaiah 28. Well, we're going to pick it up tonight in Joshua chapter 10. And as we go through Joshua chapter 10, we pick it up. Let's do verse by verse, and starting with verse 8. And so,
The Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee.
Well, now, who? He was talking about, you had the five kings of the Amorites. The five kings had decided. One of the kings actually was king of Israel, but he wasn't a Jew. He was the king of Israel there at this time. And so they decided to, they were going to go up against Gibeon. Gibeon was a very, very large city. And at the same time, they were going to defeat Gibeon and then defeat Joshua. They were going to go after the Israel. And so the king of Gibeon, he calls over and he says to Joshua, listen, you got to help. I need your help because you got these five kings and they're coming against us. And so that's where we'll pick it up there. So the Lord is telling Joshua, fear them not. I've delivered them into thine hand. If God tells you not to fear, is that a good reason not to fear?
Yeah.
That's the best reason in the world, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, has he ever failed?
No.
No, not even once. So Joshua there,
a lot, but he doesn't.
No. He goes on to say, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Betharon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. Well, so here, when he talked about discomfited them, he meant really they were discomforted, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it says he, basically slew them with a great slaughter.
And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and they were in the going down to Betharon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. This is one of those things there, Joe, where a lot of people, it's it's not exactly the way it sounds. It sounds like all of the stones were hailstones, but they're not. Where it says the great stone sea, I remember going over this once before, and he looked the word up in the Hebrew for those great stones. And if I, well, I can remember, it's for stones of rock. It's actually made. It says stones of rock.
Great stones are stones of rock. Then
right. And then he goes on to say, because he used both. Now, from heaven, could have been meteorites. Could be like meteorites, or often whenever you had a volcano erupt, you know, it would shoot stones in the air. But God didn't really need any of that. All he had to do is command the stones, right? I mean, that's all he really had to do. And it says here, and it came to pass as they fled before Israel, they were in going down to Bethoron, he cast down great stones from heaven upon them, Hezekiah, and they died, and they were more which died with hailstones. Now this word there in the Hebrew means stones of ice, so they're two different things. And when they, in other words, additionally, he killed additional people with hailstones from heaven. Then they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So, in other words, God killed more of them with the stones than Joshua killed with the sword.
Sorry, correct.
Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites. And he says, before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Aijon. Now, this had never happened before, okay? The sun stood still, and the whole purpose was to give Joshua enough time and enough daylight, because they didn't like fighting at night, to finish killing all of the Amorites. And so here, the day was twice as long. It started about noontime, and it went for another day of daylight. So it was twice as long as it normally was. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon the enemies. Is not this written in the book of Asher? And so, so that the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Now that's an interesting thing, because the book of Jasher is spoken of twice over in 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 18, and it's spoken of here too. And so here you have, he says, and there was no day like that before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And God would fight for Israel when they were in obedience, but when they were disobedience, well, it didn't end up being very good for them, did it?
Well, basically, he just left them to their own abilities. They were small. They weren't as it trained or equipped as some of these other nations, and they had nowhere near the size armies. So basically, he didn't have to do anything but leave them to their own devices, and they lost.
Well, sometimes when they could have had a victory, when he had instructed them not to go to war, when they were sure because they had the manpower over the enemy, but he said, no, don't go to war today. And they went to war anyhow, and that didn't bode well for them. So,
no, it didn't, because they were disobedient.
Yep. So let's go over now to Isaiah chapter 32. This is very interesting in Isaiah chapter 32. We read,
how do you want to do this? Just a few at a time? And
yeah, let's just take it. You go ahead and read a verse, and we'll comment on it.
Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment.
Well, we know who that king that rules in righteousness is. He's the Lord of Lords and a King
Jesus,
of Kings.
It would be, he's talking about the millennial kingdom, right?
Right. Now, who are the princes that shall rule in righteousness?
Oh, well, it was mentioned some of the Old Testament saints and others.
No, this
like
is
Daniel
the
and the other, you know, they would be.
Yeah, but also that includes the born again church. This is during the millennial kingdom, so that'll be you and us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes on to say,
the Old Testament saints, yeah.
And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So we know who the rock in the weary land is, don't we?
Right, the Lord.
And so when he's referring to rivers of water, he's talking about life and giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that this
is
taking...
the example was when Moses struck the stone and water comes pouring out. In the middle of a desert, water comes flowing out of a rock.
Yep. And
it's,
so...
you know, a physical example of what he's talking about. He's talking here spiritually, but he's also saying he can supply water wherever you are, living water, whether it's physical or spiritual. It's living water.
Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well? He said,
I have water that if you drink from this water, you will never thirst again.
Living water, huh? Okay.
So living waters, yes.
And so here now, he was the great rock in a weary land, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Now, who are those that have eyes that see? There are specific people that have eyes that see.
Those would be the born again that have the eyes that are open to see and hear.
Absolutely, they have eyes to see, and they shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. So now, let me ask you this. Okay, well, let's ask Wendy, because she's really smart, okay? Hey, Wendy, now, we know there's a lot of things in the Bible that we understand, but there's a lot of things we don't quite all the way understand in Scripture. And so what is he telling us there that during that millennial kingdom, then those things we don't understand, we'll understand.
Yes, we'll have the knowledge.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit has knowledge. Yeah.
So, right. Now, how long will we have to be with him to learn all of these things that we don't know?
Oh, well, forever.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a continuous time of learning. Because there's a whole lot out there. The Bible talks about the things that are too hard or too far for us right now at this time. It's going to take years and years for us really to learn all of what God has done, huh?
Right.
That could mean that there is so much going on out in the universe that we have no concept of, you know, no awareness of.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even know all that's going on your farm, huh?
Right, exactly. Let alone what's going on in the county, the state, the country, the world, yeah.
Yep. It's going to be a whole different place to live at that time. Now he says, now the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. This is a little bit of a tougher one here. And the tongue of the stammer shall be ready to speak plainly. So when he's referring to the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge. When he's referring to that, the rash, what is he referring to? If I say, you just made a rash judgment there, what would I mean by that?
You're kind of a rush to judgment. You hurried. You didn't think it through. Look at the facts. You didn't have full understanding.
Are there a lot of people, good people? I have a number of friends that are that way. They just happen. They don't
impulsive
really
sometimes.
Pardon?
Impulsive. One
yeah.
word would be impulsive.
Very impulsive, right? And so, but now he's saying that they're going to think things out, aren't they?
Right. They're going to have a total different outlook. And then the other part where he says the staminers, those that had mental or physical defects, will be able to speak plainly. Will be there'll be a lot of cured people there.
Okay, so do we know people that know what they're trying to say? They know what they can sit down and write it out on a piece of paper. They can write it out what they're trying to say, but when it comes to actually saying it, the words just don't come out.
Yeah.
I had a friend that way. He wanted to be a pastor. He wanted to be a preacher more than anything. And he stuttered. He just stuttered, and he was very soft spoken. But he was a good Bible study, you know, Bible teacher. And I would tell him, you know, look, go with the gift that God gave you. He gave you a gift of being a teacher, but you know, you're just no preacher.
Right.
You know, it. And what would happen is when they would start to stutter, he would become more frustrated, and the stuttering would be becoming worse. Yeah.
I remember there was a country western singer that couldn't talk, but he could sing. Oh, if he could just sing it, he was all right. But speak, he couldn't speak in public.
Mel Tillis.
Yep. I was thinking it was Tillis. I couldn't think of the first name.
Yeah.
I knew Tillis, and I couldn't thank you for the mill.
Well, I got that from Kyle. There you go.
That's what I heard, yeah. I heard his voice back there.
And so he goes on to say here, and the vile person shall be no more called a liberal, nor the churl to be bountiful. Now, at the time when this was written, the word liberal had a positive connotation. Now, liberal was someone who was generous with their own money, with their own food, with their own property, and with their own freedoms. Today, a liberal is someone who's generous with other people's money and other people's freedoms.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he's telling you that just prior to going into the millennial kingdom, a vile person would be called a liberal. A vile person would be called a liberal. Now, if I was to say to you, what does that word vile mean, what would you say?
Wicked.
Well, a definition would be repulsive to God. Repulsive to God.
Vile, okay. Repulsive to God.
Yeah, so a vile person, well, would be, if it's repulsive to God, it would be repulsive to us too, would it not? So a vile person should be no more called a liberal. So during that time, during the millennial kingdom, vile people would be, well, they'd have to keep it to themselves, okay? Because the Lord Jesus is going to be ruling, and judgment will be instantaneously there. So here he would said, he goes on, nor the churl said to be bountiful. Now, a churl is what?
Is a miserly man.
Someone, now I knew some churls. I knew one fellow who he would give you the shirt off his back. He was in that area, but on the other way, he would pinch a dime. And I had who was such a miser, he didn't want to spend money. I mean, he just hated to spend money on anything. He was so tight and you know, he had a good heart. I mean, if you asked him, you know, for to borrow his last dollar, if you were hungry, he'd give you his last bit of food. But at the same time, boy, I'm telling you, he would go to buy something, he would want to argue and beat the people down on the price. It was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't want to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this friend of mine actually died from he froze to death because he wouldn't spend the money on heating oil. He thought the price of heating oil went too high, and so he would not spend the money on heating oil when Obama was in office. And
can
so,
you imagine him today? Can you imagine him with today's prices?
Yeah, well, you know, I would have gladly bought him the heating oil. I would have gladly bought him had I known that he needed it. I didn't know that he needed it. And not only that, but, you know, our entire church would have taken care of him. But He goes on to say, for the vile person will speak villainy. Of course you expect a vile person to do that, right? And his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. Today, with us, hypocrisy is repulsive, okay? To the liberals, hypocrisy is a good thing. We see tremendous hypocrisy. Everything that this wicked, wicked, very corrupt, by the way, Joe, even amongst crooked lawyers, listen, even amongst crooked lawyers, this Jack Smith has got a bad reputation as being, you know, over the top as far as being crooked.
Right, because he gets overturned, and even a bad lawyer wants to be able to win in court and have it stick. That's how he makes his money. Jack Smith keeps getting overturned on everything.
Yeah, but he'll go after, even though he was just recently caught lying and admitted that he lied. In fact,
he did twice. He had an admission he lied, and then he lied about something else because he didn't put in Trump's little on his deposition that he charges, didn't put in where Trump had said, you know, go march on the Capitol, but be peaceful. I can't remember the exact quote, but he told him to be very peaceful and orderly.
Yeah, well,
he omitted that, so he committed the lie of omission, which for an attorney, not giving that, putting that in, is also a lie and a charge. So he's charging Trump things that he did that Trump didn't do.
Right, but not just that, but he is a part of the protection, the Biden protection racket.
Oh, yeah.
And so everything,
the hired hit group.
Virtually everything they've charged Trump with, Biden has done. Or Merrick Garland.
Or Hillary, or...
Yeah. And so,
all of them.
So the Lord Jesus said, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites.
When he does three woes, it usually doesn't turn out well at all, does it?
No. And so he goes on to say here, I want to jump ahead down to verse 9. Rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice, you careless daughters. Give ear unto speech. Now he's talking to the women there who are complacent. It's like, ho-hum. What's this being obedience to God? We're
busy with the makeup and the parties and how we look and, all the social gatherings and, yeah.
Well, then anyhow, he says,
comes before God, right?
Many days and years shall you be troubled, you careless women, for the vintage shall fail and gathering shall not come. So he's talking about food. Food's a good thing to have, isn't it?
Sure is.
Okay. And so then he goes on to say, tremble, you women that are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you and make you bare and gird sackcloth upon your loins. Do you ever have sackcloth upon yourself?
Oh, it's itchy.
Yeah, I've had burlap on my skin, and it's not the greatest feeling around, is it?
It is itchy, itchy, itchy.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to say,
get into that, the insulation stuff.
So he's telling them not just to put burlap on, to make yourself bare. And then put it on. In other words, he's making a point. Look, you're going to be very uncomfortable, okay? And you better do that, okay? Because that's a form of repentance. And then he goes on to say, they shall lament for their teats, for the pleasant fields and for the fruitful vine. Well, the teats are their breasts. That's what their breasts are, okay?
Well, and they'll lament because there'll be no children at their breasts. There'll be no pleasant fields for food and no food on the fruitful vine. It's going to be hard times.
Yep.
Hard labor, hard times, and very bad when you're starving. You don't produce many children or milk.
Now, all of these things are happening just prior to entering into the millennial kingdom, okay?
Right.
And then I just want to jump ahead because we're out of time, and I want to go to... verse 16, now we're into the millennial kingdom. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of the righteous shall be peace, and the effect of the righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And with that, we'll be back right after this.
They hate the whole Christian nation. Want to force our elimination. Made illegal our way of life. Perverted the meaning of man and wife.
Took away our free speech.
It's now a crime for us. The heathen don't understand.
Christian people, Christian life. It's Christ to live. It's Christ to die.
By the sea, restore our nation. They can steal our salvation. We'll tell the truth, we won't lie.
Our victory comes from on high.
Christian people, Christian life. It's Christ, it's to live. Christ to live. It's Christ, it's to, Christ die. To die.
In the end, they will learn to repent, or they will burn. They will burn. They will burn. They will burn. They will burn.
Alrighty, we are back, and you know what, that's kind of almost the title of the message this coming Sunday, Lord's willing, unless the Lord gives me another one, and the title would be, What You Don't Know Can Leave You Burning in Hell, and that's the title, and we're going to take a look, because boy, did God's Word, the Bible, have a lot to say about knowledge, those that have knowledge, and those without knowledge. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more there than most people know. And so that's the message, and people say, boy, that's a strong message. Folks, burning in hell's a very, very strong punishment. But we have Jane. Jane has a request. Hey, Jane.
Hello.
Hello. You're in the air.
I am.
You are.
Hello?
Yeah, Jane, can you hear me? This is Pastor.
I can, vaguely.
All righty. Well, if you can't hear, speak up.
I can hear you.
Alrighty. You have a request. You want the folks, you needed some help. Can you tell the folks what it is, how they can help you out there?
I did, but first, Pastor, that sounds like it's going to be a very powerful message. And thank you for, again, being so obedient and diligent to God's services. Thank you for having me on. I really wanted to call in for two reasons. One, I want to give your listeners an update on my son, Daniel. And just to capsule things, Daniel had his brain surgery due to a stroke and a brain bleed January 15th when they removed the skull flap. May 15th, they replaced the skull flap and did a cranioplasty. Daniel at that time was in a wheelchair, wearing a helmet, had a shoulder cuff, a leg brace, the whole nine yards. And as of today, thanks to God and everybody's prayers, Pastor, Daniel is no longer in a wheelchair. Daniel, all the hardware is gone. The helmet's gone. The skull is replaced. The staples are out. He's walking with a cane. So fast, I can't keep up with him. We went to therapy this morning, and his PT therapist said he has surpassed all of her expectations, that he doesn't need to come back, but we still need to go to OT. He can, praise be to Jesus, raise his left arm above his head, and we're working on his hand and fingers. We're working on his memory retention. Daniel still gets confused with dressing. Sometimes his clothes are backwards or inside out, but we're working on it. And he's awesome because he'll look at me, Pastor, and he'll just say, it'll be okay. But he made up his mind to go before God when this happened, and he said, I'm not going to stay like this. And he is absolutely a walking miracle.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God, Pastor. Your listeners from when I was on in June, they're still keeping in touch with him. They call him. They text him. They Facebook with him. And they generally care about his recovery. They follow his monumental moments, you know, their milestones. And it's just amazing to watch this happen, that his own neurologist surgeon, we have the next follow-up on the 15th of this month. He has not seen Daniel since he did the skull replacement May 15th. He has not seen him. He does not know Daniel's walking with a cane and all that hardware is gone.
Well, praise the Lord for that. How can the folks help you out there, Jane?
Well, we still need a vehicle. We signed a lease today on a duplex because the house that we're in is being padlocked Monday because of housing violations. But we signed a lease today on a duplex. We're moving Friday. We are still here in Newcastle. Eventually, we're hoping to get back to Geauga County, but for right now, we're here because it has to be. But we are in dire need of a vehicle. We have access to the disabilities bus, but it's only available for his medical reasons. Other than that, if something happens during the night or on the weekend, we have no way to get around and no one to help. So we are really, really in need of a vehicle.
Well, tell the folks how they can contact you and help you out there. We have a lot of listeners right there in Pennsylvania, but we have listeners from coast to coast. And how can they I know that our church has helped you out somewhat. And
you have, and I thank everybody that had helped before, and it did help. Daniel was able to pay his back bills because he's been out of work since last September, almost a year now. And but they can, praise be to Jesus, our new address is going to be 20 Maitland, Maitland Street, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, 16101. And my phone number is 724-651-0603.
Okay, let me see. 724, what was that?
651.
651-0603. All right. Now, we've had, in the past, we've had three women like yourself that have had dire needs for a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And in all three cases, people responded. They had a car that they weren't using sitting there. And in one case, it was a really nice car, too. But there are people out there that have cars that are just sitting out and they're not using them. And maybe they can give you a call at 724-651-0603 and help you out, huh?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that, Pastor. And God can turn anything around.
And you're there in Newcastle, so the folks in Newcastle, especially if you're out there listening tonight, try to give her a hand. I got to get on with the program, Jane.
Well, thank you, Pastor Sanders, and God bless all of you. Thank you again for praying for Daniel, because prayers work.
They certainly do. They certainly do. And I know you were in quite a bit of hardship
it's
there.
It's been quite a journey for 8 months.
Yeah, I know. Well, again, thanks, and keep me informed on how things go. and I got to move on. So God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Sanders. God bless.
And now, you know, one of the reasons she wanted to get here to Jug County, a lot of the people, I mean, it's harder and harder to find a place to live out here because people are moving in from California. They're moving in from New Jersey because I think it's got to do a lot with the Tea Party out here. The Christian activism that you have in the Tea Party. And so I think that's what's one of the things that's really drawing people here to out into the Jug County area. So, Wendy Wilson, what have you got for us tonight? I think I know, but go ahead.
Yes, I thought we would talk about this new, what's coming on the market. We're going to have over-the-counter birth control products, so you won't need a prescription. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, Joe mentioned, we did mention a little bit, but not...
We mentioned it shortly, but with very little detail.
Yeah.
Well, this was July 2023. The FDA did approve the sale of over-the-counter birth control. It's a drug called O-Pill, like O and then the word pill. Its drug name is Norgestrel, and we're told that this birth control drug requires no prescription, and unlike prescribed birth control pills that are a combination of progesterone and estrogen, the O-pill is said to be just a synthetic hormone of progestin to help block sperm at the cervix area. So the cost of this O-pill is about $10 to $50 without insurance. It's kind of unclear if the insurance companies or Medicaid will cover the cost of this product. O-pill over-the-counter contraceptives are already sold in the UK, South America, Asia, Africa, Greece, and South Korea. So why do you suppose they're doing over-the-counter, Pastor?
They want to kill more babies, okay.
Well, you're spot on, because it's interesting why the FDA did approve the sale of the birth control drug to be without a prescription. The O-pill drug costs about the same as a prescribed form of contraceptive that does contain both estrogen and progesterone. And if you have health insurance, it may cost nothing. So the real cost of keeping the population down with such drugs will soon be evident. Let's just look at how this drug works. The synthetic progesterone produces this thick mucus in the cervix area, which prevents sperm from fertilizing the egg. So the drug also thins the lining of the uterus, making it less suitable for an egg to be implanted there. And the drug also attempts to prevent ovulation or the release of eggs. So females need to follow product directions by taking the drug at the same time each day. And the drug must maintain a certain level in the body to work. So if a woman forgets to take the drug several hours late, it produces side effects. They forget to take it, and they'll have vomiting and diarrhea, and they could risk pregnancy if they do engage in sex. So if the sperm is also able to remain and be active in the cervix for up to 5 days. So it can take 2 days for the drug to actually build up enough in the system so it'll work, and even with all the precautions, the efficiency rate is 98%. So let's talk about the side effects. Women bear the brunt of the side effects taking birth control drugs, so this O-pill is no exception. The FDA states it's safe for most women to use, but the side effects will be nausea, breast tenderness, increased appetite, acne, fatigue, headaches, irregular vaginal bleeding, which would be continuous spotting and heavy bleeding and even missed periods. You may have no menstrual periods, so that's a big red flag if you start to not have periods. Lower risk of blood clots due to absence of the estrogen. High blood pressure, depression, severe stomach and abdominal pain, dark urine, yellowing of the eyes and skin, blood clots or deep vein thrombosis, trouble breathing, rashes and itching, swelling of the face, tongue, and throat, dizziness, heart attacks, pulmonary embolism, stroke, vision changes, and possible blindness.
Well, You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this, okay? When we get to Genesis 9, for the third time, God has said one of these two, either be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, or the other one is go to the drugstore and take one of the poisonous pills. Mm-hmm. Which one of those did God command?
Fruitful and multiply.
Was that just a suggestion?
No, or, it was the first commandment, I believe.
Okay. He to be fruitful and multiply, yep. And so today when we have all of these young women, the trend now is they don't want to have children. In fact, they don't even want to get married now. That's the latest polls that are coming out. Is that due to a total lack of knowledge? Do they understand at all about God?
Probably not.
And so, in fact, Joe, there's the trending is, but we're seeing two things happening at once, and we're seeing for the young girls, they're trending, especially high school, to be going farther and farther to the left into sin, aren't they?
Definitely moving that direction.
And now, but according to the latest research, the good news is the boys are going in the opposite direction, aren't they?
The boys are becoming more conservative from everything we've been able to read and see.
Now, for the older women, those with children, especially those with children, say, in elementary school, they're trending to go more and more to the right, where they want to know, they're pulling their children out of the public school systems, but they want to know what about the curriculum. So, I mean, we're seeing in that area, parents, they're vacating the public school systems for that very reason. They're paying attention now to what's happening to the children. And that is good news on one side. The other side is, these parents are bringing their children to see drag queens. And that's a horrible thing because, you know, we just played a clip here and we were talking about child sex trafficking. And they were talking about who these sex traffickers are. And they said in many cases, parents are they're trafficking their own children. Okay. And people would say, well, what kind of parents would traffic their own children? It would be the kind of parents that would take their children to see a drag queen, would it not?
Yeah. Well, would you like me to continue?
Yeah, you're pretty smart.
Okay, so we just went over these side effects, and you know what? The sign of sudden dark urine can indicate that the kidneys or the liver are in distress. They're not working properly, have a lot of inflammation. And if the urine's dark brown, black, or your stools look like coffee grounds, well, the liver is too toxic and is usually due to a drug use like this. They also have some warnings for people that shouldn't use this O-pill drug. FDA says women with cancer or history of cancer should not use the drug. Women taking certain medications should also not use the drug, such as if you're taking seizure medicines, tuberculosis medication, HIV/AIDS medications, or pulmonary hypertensive-type medicines. So what exactly is this drug, Pastor? So we're told the drug is nogestrel, which is a combination of stereoisomers and dextroxamestrol and also levonorgestrel. And these are synthetic steroidal progesterone that are combined with ethylene esterol, which is an estrogen used to treat menopause. It's also an estrosteromer, which is a molecule sequence of an atom. It's also dextrostradiol. It's 17 alpha hydroxysteroids made with reverse inhibit enzymes. And the levonorgestrel is used as an emergency contraceptive to protect from pregnancy after intercourse. So the drug does not perform well in women over 164 pounds. It's a synthetic form of progesterone, and it's another name for the morning after pill called RU486.
Well,
so Opil also has progesterone, and what is that made from? Well, it has a synthetic ingredient list, but it's extracted from testosterone, making a form of progesterone, which is a synthetic hormone that can impact a body's salt and water balance. It is often combined with other ingredients. So it appears that the new over-the-counter birth control is full of ingredients that can cause metabolic upset, can also be life-threatening, and birth control in general is to counter unintended pregnancies, which health authorities say are 50% of pregnancies now. I mean, what were you just saying? People don't want children, right?
Right.
Well, Kelly Blanchard, she's president of the IBIS Reproductive Health, and she says, we are particularly thrilled that the FDA approved Opil with no age restriction. What do you think of that?
I think she's a very wicked woman.
Right. So it appears that your birth control is highly focused on due to changes in abortion laws. I think this has brought this forward. And as people die and births dwindle, this is how the cultural segment of the population gets lower. There are not enough births happening to replace those that are dying right now, Pastor. Now, the Conversation Journal, January 2023, says, in 2007, average birth rates were right around 2 children per woman. By 2021, levels had dropped more than 20%, close to the lowest level in a century. Why? Is this decline because, as some suggest, young people aren't interested in having children? End of quote. They're just not, like you've been saying.
Well, the morality has really dropped a lot. It has. And I think one of the reasons that you're seeing the trend for the young boys, and these polls, they were taken on high school seniors, both boys and girls. And here, you know, with the climate that you have, with the so-called political correctness or the woke, young white men, you know, are being, you know, well, they're being told that they should be ashamed for being white. And they should be ashamed for being men, okay? And they try to effeminize them, and many of them are pushing back. They said, no, we don't want, and they're trending to go in the opposite direction, and they're seeing. But we always see that from, you know, all through the Bible, we see that where the enemy attacks women, starting with the Garden of Eden, is in the area of discernment. We see that all through Scripture. And that's why I think probably the most vulnerable people altogether, from my experience, are these high school girls or the young girls, because for a lot of different reasons. I think with their bodies changing and things like that. What do you think, Wendy?
Well, another thing to consider, too, is back in around Obama's administration, 2010-ish, public schools started giving middle school and high school females updated tetanus shots. The parents would get a letter saying that your child is not within calendar dates for their tetanus shot. In other words, they may have been given the tetanus shot a day or two off when they should have, and now they want them to have it redone, and unless it's done in 30 days, your child can't return to school. Well, they changed the tetanus shot. They tested it in Africa on women there. There's a protein marker in the tetanus shot that pretty much makes a woman allergic to being pregnant. In other words, it changes the lining of the uterus, which makes it uninhabitable for a fertilized egg to attach and thrive. So the woman winds up just aborting the fertilized egg and doesn't even know it. And that tetanus shot is active and working like that between 7 and 10 years.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You may have noticed, teenage pregnancies has gone way down because of that.
Well, yeah, it's, I know that they're And I think the morality, too.
Go down, the number of abortions went up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so.
I hate the way they phrase that. You know.
Well, this is kind of like a spontaneous abortion. You know, this shot, the tetanus shot, if you will. Women are having fertilized eggs, but they're just not implanting. And this new O pill has that same kind of chemical, RU486, in it.
Well, but this also add that to, you know, the so-called COVID shot, and that has caused a lot of women that have taken that shot give birth, and then they die right after they give birth. The women die. That's been a growing problem.
Probably has something to do with clots, right?
Yeah, you had that. We had that female Jewish woman, a gynecologist on here. She said that her young patients were literally bleeding to death, okay? And she's a liberal, and she was speaking out against, this is a horrible thing, what was taking place with these shots. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're not going to see that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, are you?
No.
So, anyhow, Wendy, we're coming up to a break. Now, I have a couple of clips that we're going to play, and very, very interesting. These clips, one of them's got to do with, I think, and you're familiar with anthrax in the CDC. Now, you know, it's how the CD tells us what they expect to come. They're actually telling us it's planned. When they're telling you they expect to see this, they're getting a vaccine ready. They're telling me they're planning on having this, spreading this. That's what they do. They're the death culture. And then the other one has got to do with what's really in the truth about these COVID shots with Dr. Brian Artis. He's going to tell you some reality, too, what people really need to know. It's not what you've been told about. It's not the bat, the serum, and all of this stuff from bats and whatever. He's going to tell you what it's really all about. So when we come back, but before that happens, I got to tell you really, really quickly, coming up this coming Sunday, August 6th, from 3 to 6 p.m. there in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm looking for the address, at 4525 Beach Street, Norwood. Oh, it's in Norwood, Ohio. You're going to have three people, Jim Caviezel, Abby Johnson, and General Michael Flynn are going to be speaking there again. And I'll give that information out again because we're coming up to a break. So we'll be back right after this break with a whole lot more, so don't go away. We got the countdown right now. Bye-bye.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.